Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose.
Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature. Oh, actually, sorry, no, it's the Art of Intuition. I've got to get used to saying this, but listening to the little video at the front, I keep going back to what we were. But all the logos and everything else will be out soon, and I will get a new little video for the front, so we'll be all good again. So welcome to the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, and this is all about intuition and spirituality. Now, today we have a lovely guest on. Her name is called Kylie Atwell. She does reside in Brisbane, so she's another Australian, and we know that we've got a lot of Americans that listen to this podcast, so I hope you enjoy our accent. Maybe not, but anyway. Kylie is an author, and she helps with facilitate self-transformation. Now, she does quite a few bits and pieces, but what we want to talk about today is all about life purpose. Now, there's a key differences between passion and purpose. And this is what we're going to discuss today, because Kylie's got a book out, which is called Find Your Purpose, Change Your Life. Now, it's a guide for uncovering your life's calling to create a joyous, filling and meaningful life. So this is what we're going to talk about today. So I want to introduce to you the lovely, I've got to press the right buttons because you know I'm not real good at this. This is the lovely Kylie Atwell. Welcome on board, Kylie. There she is.
Thank you so much, Susan Jane, for having me. And I just want to give a shout out to all of your audience, particularly those in America, because America is one of my favorite places. I visited there in 2012 and had the most life-changing experience. And that probably has since that time become the foundation of the work that I do today. So America sits very dearly with my heart, and a good majority of my friends today are American. So I just wanted to shout out to them. So.
Ah, excellent. All right, well, I'm going to get stuck straight into it, Kylie, because I'm going to ask you why you wrote this book, what the book is about, why you wrote it, what sort of instigated that?
Well, it's a long story, and I'll cover it as succinctly as I can, but essentially I'd battled with anxiety and depression my entire life, and I really thought that it was due to the environment that I grew up in, because I grew up in a very small country town. And when I left school, I set out on a mission to attain everything that I thought would truly make me happy. And by the time I reached my late 20s, I'd actually acquired sort of all those material things that I'd set out to achieve, such as like a secure and lucrative career, a dream house, a classic car, designer things, and heaps of friends and social life and things. I got to that point and I had everything, as I said, that I thought would make me happy. And I was devastated because I just felt completely hollow and empty. And I truly thought that there was something wrong with me as a person, like deep down, fundamentally wrong. Like, how can you have all this material kind of wealth and richness in your life and still be, you know, completely empty and unhappy? So being a logical person, I went searching for what was missing, and I searched high and low for, you know, 16 plus years. I changed career at least 4 times. I got married and then divorced. I mistook a passion for my purpose, and I ended up broke I ended up broke not just financially but emotionally as well. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on books, seminars, events, workshops, you know, trying to work it out. And the more I searched, the more confused and unhappy I became.
Totally agree with you. That I did exactly the same. You kept on looking and looking and looking, and all you do is realize how much you got missing. It makes it worse.
Exactly. And that was the thing. I think it was that chasing, that searching. I mean, they always talk about, you know, if trying only pushes something further away, it's you've got to change your vibration to then attract what you need towards you. And so I finally had that trip to the USA, and it was actually USA and Mexico in 2012 that changed my life. I had the most incredible synchronistic experience over 6 weeks that I just had never experienced before throughout my life. Everything just flowed. Everything, like honestly, the story takes 2 days to tell you, and it's so difficult to not kind of start launching into it. But it was just, I felt freedom, joy, and awe for the first time in my life. And I wanted to know, why could I have it on a 6 week holiday? Why couldn't I have it in my life every single day? And when I got back to Australia, I was absolutely, you know, hit rock bottom. I was devastated. I could not go back to the life that I'd been living, but I didn't know how to get from, you know, this state of deep depression that I'd started to fall back into to the dream life that I wanted to have. And I didn't even really know what that was actually at the time, but certainly I wanted to experience on a day-to-day basis that freedom, joy, and awe that I had experienced on that holiday. So that was the driving force behind, you know, the next stage of my life.
So do you feel that people often have that happen? Because they do go on a holiday, they do switch off, they do change their vibration, and then they think they always have to be on holidays to achieve that?
I think that's when they really start to flow with life. And I've kind of tried to identify what those key things are. And I think a big part of it is that when you're on holiday, you kind of temporarily pause life, all the things that you should do, must do, have to do, all those responsibilities, and you just pause. Most people immerse themselves in the things that they love. You know, you don't go on holidays and do stuff that you hate. So you immerse yourself in the things you love. You allow yourself to be fully present in the moment as well. Some people like will plan every single detail down to the moment when it comes to their holidays. With my trip, I made no plans. As a former event manager, that was just, you know, a crazy, crazy thing to do. It's the best thing I've ever done. And whenever I travel, I truly don't make any concrete plans. I'll have a vague idea of what I want to do, and I'll know roughly where I'm going. And that is when the magic happens, without the plans. And also too, I said, because I was on the other side of the world and I didn't know whether I'd ever get to, you know, have this opportunity again, I said yes to everything that I resonated with. And so that were the key factors that I found on the trip that made them so magical. And so then it was like, well, how do I translate that back into my day-to-day life? And so when I returned, and as I said, I knew I couldn't go back to the old life, but I didn't know how to go forward, I gave myself the space. I gave myself 3 months to try and recreate those sort of circumstances that I'd experienced on my holiday in my day-to-day life. And I pretty much just went into self-isolation. All I wanted to do was to get on a plane again and have another holiday, but I knew that that was escapism. So what I did was I probably cried for the first 2 weeks because I had no idea who I was. And then I started thinking about what's one thing from that holiday that I enjoyed, and can I embrace it right now in my environment with the resources that I had? So that's where I started.
Wow. Okay, so you've done this amazing holiday, and I for one know what it feels like when you come back to Earth, back to work, back to, you know, where you are. So what were the next steps you took? So you basically, you gave yourself the time out. You're sitting there, I know I'd be wallowing in my own self-pity, because that's sort of what I would do when I came back from holidays. Yeah. So what was it that you did that helped you step forward? Or what were you looking at? What was it? What was the key point that you went through?
I pretty much started to do an audit of my life. I went into self-isolation. One, I didn't want to see anyone because, you know, I'd seen everyone when I first got back and told them what amazing time I had, but then I was such a sad sack that I didn't want to see anyone because I didn't want them to see how miserable I was. So I went into self-isolation, and as I said, I cried for the first 2 weeks, and then I said to myself, okay, what's one element from that trip that I really enjoyed? And part of that trip was actually I was in the Yucatan Peninsula trekking through the Mayan ruins with Greg Braden. So he was doing a tour there, and it was kind of part of a conference that had to do with the ending of the 2012, the Mayan calendar. So I thought, okay, the information that Greg presented was amazing. Why don't I get onto YouTube and Google some of his stuff? And the moment I did that, like just a black cloud lifted off my head, and I just felt amazing, and I, you know, just became absorbed in his information. And in that very moment, all of my troubles disappeared. And then the video would end, and then I'd play another one, and it kind of went on and on. But I felt I can't just sit here and watch videos. This is not going to get me anywhere in life. I can't just be doing this. So I thought, all right, if I start actually using my hands, because I really enjoy working with my hands, what if I actually do something with my hands and make something like that I have to show at the end of the day while I watch these videos? So I started knitting. So I'm knitting and I'm listening, and I ran out of Greg videos and I nearly freaked out. So then I thought, hang on, Greg presents with Bruce Lipton. I know, I'll Google Bruce. So I Google Bruce, and then Bruce got his turn of repetitive videos that I played. And then, of course, Bruce talks about Psy K and Rob Williams. So then Rob Williams was the next guest. And it just went on. But the funny thing is, Susan, by me just allowing myself to do the things I love, because that information was truly inspiring me and uplifting me.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point I ventured out of the house because my house is so dark and cold in winter. And it was beautiful and sunny outside, because here in Queensland we have the most spectacular winters that, you know, don't even get cold. So I ventured outside. So I'd sit under the tree in the park and knit and drink cups of tea and listen to this information. And do you know that in that three-month period, I came across all the resources that allowed me to understand the journey I was on, helped me identify my life's calling. It taught me about the power of the subconscious mind. And it gave me all the tools that I needed to start reprogramming my subconscious mind to, you know, overcome the self-limiting beliefs and the emotional baggage that was holding me back in life. So for me, just incorporating those key principles that I learned on my holiday allowed me to come across all the things that I'd been searching for high and low for 16 years. And then all I had to do was actually put that into action.
Wow, that's amazing. And I really can relate to that, because although I didn't listen to the people that you're talking about, I did the same. I listened to Esther Hicks with yes. Abraham, the teachings of Abraham. And that was another one just like that, where I didn't sit down and listen to them. I had them going when I was doing things, you know, just your general things. And it was constantly replaying over and over in my head, and it makes you start to think really, really differently. You're bringing in other information that allows you to change that with what you're already thinking, or implement it with what you're already thinking, and allow you to bring it forward in another manner. So you don't have to follow exactly what they're saying, but you implement different things about what they're saying. So yeah, that's brilliant. I love it. All right, so what did you do next?
Well, really, that was when I just knew that, okay, I've got all the tools now to start reprogramming my subconscious mind and identify my calling. And as I was doing that, obviously I was, you know, experienced change after change after change. So I knew that it genuinely was working, and I just became so inspired, and I thought, I can't sit on this information. I've been miserable for 40 plus years. I searched, you know, 16 plus, if not more, years. I have to share this with every single person I know. And I thought the best way to do it was to articulate it on paper first. And I did do that, and I wanted to turn it into a website. And I sent it to a dear girlfriend of mine, and I wrote it like an instruction manual because I didn't want to tell my story. I just thought that's got nothing to do with it. I just need to put the steps down bang, 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 this is what you do, this is how you do it, short, succinct, to the point, let's get on with it. And she said to me, Kylie.
I don't mean to laugh, Kylie, but that's exactly what I did with my book. And I learned awful to read, but wow, didn't it have some information?
Exactly. You're a woman after my own heart, Susan. If I could have done this without ever appearing in person, I would have done it. And my friend said to me, and I really valued her opinion, she said, Kylie, this is great work. She said, but no one will ever read it. She said, it's not like your Deepak Chopra or Eckhart Tolle. She said, no one will ever read this. And I was absolutely crushed because I just thought, no, you don't get the point. Like, you know, but reading my story is just going to be a distraction. And that's one thing I truly find about self-help books is that often there's so many stories in them and the message is just repeated again and again and again and again that you get the point. But how do you apply it to your life? How do you actually start making the changes that allow you to find your purpose? It's, you know, I've read so many books about it, why it's important to find your purpose. Great, but how on earth do you do that? You know, I want the steps. So that's, I guess, what I was trying to do is that actually give people those resources, the actual, the real tangible things that would actually then make the difference to people's lives. So I built the website, aguideforlife.com, to share all of the information and all the, particularly all the teachers. I really wanted everyone to connect with the teachers and their resources. It was not really about me. It was just about me featuring them and what they taught me through a very simple story that I created just to give people context. And that obviously was really successful. You know, people from all over the world visit that site all the time, and it's and the resources section is the key area that gives it a lot of great free information. It's subsequently become more of a hub for the work that I do, but nonetheless, that resources section, you know, is kind of the core of the original site where I just wanted to share all of this information with everyone. And then what I found, Susan, was that people needed a bit more handholding. And the reason being is that the website works beautifully, but there's a lot of hyperlinks in the website. So you can kind of keep going down different rabbit holes, and there's still not that step-by-step process, even though I walk people through the chapters of my life and how I applied it. Yeah, it's still not that, right, do this first, now do this, now do that. And that's why I ended up creating the workbook, Find Your Purpose, Change Your Life, so that I could actually give people the exact steps to follow if that's where they were, if they didn't know their life's calling, and you know, how to start with that. And literally give them, you know, a guarantee that by the time they work through that workbook, they will have definitely found at least the themes of their purpose.
Wow. And look, Ali, I just want to say it again, because this is a podcast and I know we've got the video happening and we can see everything there, but because it is a podcast, I just wanted to repeat your website again, which is A Guide for Life. So A Guide for Life. Actually, I really don't need to spell that. I'm sure everyone can. .com. Okay. And you can link with Kylie there and see all that there. And also she is more than happy to share a free PDF about changing the printout of your life. But to get that, you need to email Kylie, and it is Kylie@aguideforlife.com. I'm not going to spell that out because I think you know how to do that one. But yeah, that's incredible. I did the same. I did the book. It was all very, this is how you do it, this is what you want, this is rah, rah, rah. I had nothing very much personal in it at all, because I felt the same. I didn't think people were really interested in who I was. And what I had to share. So we do have to be mindful of that. And it wasn't until, would you believe, my son-in-law turned around and said, well, you know, the book's, it looks good, but the first thing people want to know with a self-help book is that they need to get to know, or any non-fiction book, they need to get to know the author. Because when you're writing a fiction story, you have to explain the characters, who the characters are. So when you're doing a self-help book, you have to explain the character who happens to be you, the author. So you have to explain who the author is. And, yeah, I learned that the hard way. I had to do my book twice. Oops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, as I was talking about this free PDF, changing the printout of your life. Did you want to talk a bit more about your book first? I'll talk about the book first.
Yeah, sure. So I do talk a little bit about my journey, just specifically around, how I, obviously talk about the fact that I battled anxiety and depression and where all that came from and how that was driven, but I also tell the story about how I did mistake a passion for my purpose and the consequences of that. You know, I really do go into that detail quite considerably. And then I also talk about how I started to uncover my my calling and the different, trials and tribulations that I went through in order to do that. So, for example, I thought that going and seeing a recruitment agency would be the perfect way to understand what my true kind of purpose was in life when it came to, like, career direction. But in actual fact, it was far from it. All the suggestions that they offered to me were all very skill-orientated and talent-orientated and previous experience-orientated, but none of them resonated with me whatsoever. So that was really kind of depressing. But then it was like, okay, well, how do I actually find, something that resonates so deeply within me? And also too, a big part of it is, and this is where a lot of people get confused, is that so many people are told about or are given the advice to follow your bliss and success will follow, or follow a passion and success will follow. And I found the complete opposite. And that's why, obviously, I wrote, this book. I identified, after having followed a passion and throwing all of my resources at it, and then being bitterly disappointed when it didn't, turn out, when it, flopped. And I could not understand where I'd gone wrong, particularly when everything was at the very beginning was actually really starting to flow. So that for me was, I really went on a journey to find out, what that was. And what I've come to understand is that both passion and purpose have a very important role to play in our lives, but they're actually quite different roles. So passions are actually tangible things that you thoroughly enjoy doing, because they give you immense pleasure. They, bring joy to your life, and they help to create that work-life balance. And they're particularly important when life is very challenging. They're there in your life to raise your vibration, to allow you to become more emotionally buoyant, to overcome the challenges. But they're mostly self-serving because they're very driven by emotion. And what I learned later was that your purpose is actually your contribution to humanity. And that actually evolves of service to others, and it's providing solutions to problems and adding real value to people's lives. And it's only through that act of serving others will you ever feel a sense of fulfillment and meaning.
I love that. That is incredible. I've never heard anybody put it so succinctly and so nice. That is amazing. Can you just repeat that again one more time? The difference between your passion and your purpose.
Yeah, so passions are really the tangible things that you thoroughly enjoy doing because they give you absolute immense pleasure. And they help create that work-life balance. So they're there to actually raise your emotional vibration, to make you feel more emotionally buoyant, particularly when, life is really challenging. So they're sort of like a little escapism moment, I guess, but they're very self-serving. Your purpose, on the other hand, is actually your contribution to humanity. And your purpose is you serving others in a way that only you can. And it's by solving their problems, other people's problems, and adding real value to their lives. And it's that serving of others that actually provides the fulfillment and meaning to your life.
Wow, I just love that. And I really understand that, because it's your passion that you can use to fulfill your purpose. So, it sort of works in tandem, but it's so nice to really understand that complete difference in it. And, of course, but I'm an Aquarian too, so, of course, helping humanity is just the be-all and end-all for me. Love it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, my story is certainly not, unusual. Like, I get a lot of clients that actually, and I get clients writing to me all the time going, Kylie, you know, I just don't know. I really love this thing, but I just don't know whether, you know, putting all my time into it, but I just don't really know whether I can make a living from it. And they're really quite confused. And they'll do something they absolutely love. They'll put all of their energy and money into something. But like me, and as I said, I can only speak from personal experiences, you know, in the long run, that passion-driven business really failed to give me the fulfillment and meaning I was seeking.
Yes.
And that was what was really, really lacking. And what I've since found, because a lot of people really want to know what their purpose is more from a career aspect, ultimately your purpose is to be a full expression of who you are. Mm-hmm. So your purpose is to be yourself. You can't help but live your purpose when you are being a full expression of yourself. It's just who you are. Like, an artist can't help but be an artist. A caregiver can't help but be a caregiver. And they will do that in every aspect of their life, even if it's got nothing to do with the career that they're working in. Mm. And even in that role, they will still actually do that task, even though it's something that they've not been employed to do. And that's one of the questions I actually ask people in the book is, sorry, and I've got this little tickle in my throat. What role have you performed in every job you've ever done that had nothing to do with the position or the job title that you were engaged to do?
Yes, and it's not just a role, but just what do you do in your job? I know in the other job I do that I get paid for, not podcasting, obviously, but I'm always making sure the communication between the boss and the other staff members is spot on. You know, like, if they don't understand it, that's what I do. I make sure it's clear, it's concise. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing, and that's. My go-to is, Mike, do you need a hand? Are you okay? Everything all right? And, yes, I get what you're talking about. It's one of the biggest things that I found personally when you ask a question like that is teaching. I wrote my book to teach people or to show people another way of doing things. I put the podcast on to teach people about how to trust their intuition. I do things that I've got. Online courses, how to read flowers, because I want to teach. And so all the way through everything I've done, I've never been a teacher, but all the way through I've always wanted to help somebody else in a teaching sort of a fashion. So, yeah, oh, that is amazing. What was the other question?
So I'm just putting a little lolly in to help the, the throat. The other question is, if time, money and logistics weren't an issue, what occupation or activity would you do, like volunteer to do purely for fun? So just starting to think about that, like if all your needs were met, so time, money, logistics, they weren't an issue anymore, what occupation or activity would you do purely for fun or volunteer to do purely for fun? And that's another bit of a dead giveaway, you know, what's something that you know, you'd almost pay to do.
Yep. Well, I do, and that's the podcast.
Exactly.
I pay to be able to create this podcast, and the podcast goes out for free. So, yes, I totally get that. So it's the things that we're naturally doing or we're doing because we choose to, that is, to me, a stronger passion, because it is attached to the purpose.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, and I try not to say this because I think it can confuse people, your purpose is what you're most passionate about. But I think it's more than that. Your purpose is who you are at your very, very core. Yeah. It's who you can't help but be. Where the passions are more that they lift you up. It's just something you do for fun. It's not something you do forever. You just do it to make yourself feel, you know, emotionally buoyant for that period of time, you know, just to put on track.
Yeah, so passions can come and go, whereas your purpose never seems to change. It's always there, whether it's coming out or not, whether you notice it or not, is something different. But your purpose is always there. It's there from birth.
Exactly. And you know, classic example, like you were saying before, you know, you've created this podcast and this is you living your purpose now, but in your other role, you're still doing the same, you know, sort of
teaching
and also to making sure that the communication is really important, that people understand what people are saying and how they've said it and how to apply it. And, you know, that theme is just running all throughout your life. And that's the thing, your evidence of your purpose is woven all throughout the fabric of your life. You simply need to know what questions to ask yourself and where to look. The evidence is everywhere. And your purpose really is a combination of your talents, the skills that you've acquired, your life experiences, particularly the challenging ones. So what you've learned, what you've had to struggle and overcome, is usually something that you will end up sharing and teaching others because you've mastered it. You know how to do it in a way that, you know, no one else can. You've got, you know, specific information that you've had to acquire. You know it, you know, in depth. It's not theory anymore. So, you know, I look at different careers such as like psychology or it could even be just, you know, I don't want to say engineering, but just any career where you actually go to uni and you actually learn a procedure or a process. It's very different from actually finding all the answers yourself and actually living and breathing every step of the transformation that you've had to undergo. And knowing it so intimately that you can talk about it from direct experience rather than having read it out of a book.
Yeah, yeah. It's like learning to ride a bike or learning to swim. You could read all about it, but until you're thrown into the deep end, you have to experience it. You have to learn it. You have to feel it and understand it. So, yes, I totally agree. Absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so in your book, Find Your Purpose, Change Your Life, so we've talked about what was in it and that. Can what do people get out of it? You said it was a workbook before we came on air. What can people get out of it? Is it sort of like a bit of a step-by-step so they can understand where their purpose is or what their purpose is?
Absolutely. So basically the book, I tell a little bit about, you know, where I, you know, was on my journey and sort of step you through the process of how I found my purpose. But ultimately the book, after that section, includes 5 activities that are actually consist of 25 thought-provoking questions and the recommendation to have a consultation with a career direction specialist. And the 25 questions will take you on a very deep dive within to actually find the answers and the evidence of your life calling from within. And then the consultation with the one-on-one specialist or one-on-one consultation with the specialist actually gives you an objective opinion from someone who actually specializes in helping people understand their soul's purpose and what they're here to teach others this lifetime. And it's the combination of the two approaches that really helps you to, in a cough, own your purpose, and it gives you the confidence to go out and live your purpose.
Okay. You've done well, Kylie. She was holding off, trying not to cough. She's got a bit of a tickle in her throat. So, all right. So what you're talking about is the book has all those the theory side of it so we can go through it, but it also has the ability to connect with somebody one-on-one.
Yes.
can these people connect with, like, obviously this podcast goes out to America. It's an international podcast. It goes all over the world. There's people in France, Spain, all over the place. Can they, because you're in Brisbane in Australia, can they connect with you okay that way? They
can absolutely. Absolutely. And also too, the career direction specialist that I recommend has international clients and you know, does it, we'll do a Zoom or a Skype session with them. She records the session that she does with them. She's a shortcut. People say to me, oh, Kylie, you know, is there a shortcut to finding your purpose? Absolutely. That one-on-one session with Narelle, she's actually finishing, she's been doing it for over 25 years and she's actually finishing her doctorate in clinical psychology. But she's been identifying people's soul purpose and their soul calling for 25 years plus. And I've never had a person that I've ever sent to her for that specific consultation that have come away disappointed. And that, in factual fact, they end up referring their mother, their sister. Like, she ends up about probably another 5 clients out of, you know, every session that I send people to her.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, so if anybody wants the book, you can get that at all good book retail places. I will show you there. It's Find Your Purpose, Change Your Life, A Guide for Uncovering Your Life's Calling to Create a Joyous, Filling and Meaningful Life. So look for that. Now, there was something else I wanted to do. Oh, now, a couple of years ago, I put on what was called the Personal Growth Expo. Now, it was an exhibition that we got all these healers and naturopaths and anybody that was in the personal growth, coaches, all that, anyone in that sort of field, we had an exposition on the Gold Coast. Now, I ran it for 2 years, but the second year that I ran it, and I didn't know this until Kylie told me just before we came on air, I did a presentation on the second year, and I talked about my situation, which I have done in the podcast earlier, and it was the very, very first time I spoke about what had happened to me, my situation, in public. And Kylie happened to be in the audience, which was really quite astounding because, yeah, I was quite taken aback. But what did you think, Kylie?
Oh, it was truly extraordinary, and I also had only just listened to, it was a podcast and I can't remember the name of it, but it was a similar story, and I don't know how much detail you want to go into it, Susan. It's a similar story of women that had been attacked, had been, you know, picked up after they'd been hitchhiking and sexually abused, and there was this, you know, complete pattern to it. And and it was just incredible because I'd listened to the podcast and then, you know, I didn't know anyone that had happened to. And then Susan, you know, sat and told me her story, and I just sat there bawling my eyes out the whole way through. And I just thought she was so brave in getting up and sharing her story, you know, with the audience. And I really felt for you because I knew that you said that you were really, it was the first time you'd shared it and you were really nervous and anxious. I felt like I was inside of you, actually. I felt like I was you, because I don't like speaking in public, so very nervous and just sharing that story. And it was so intimate and personal, and, you know, I got so much out of it, just in terms of, you know, being a female and if you are in a situation where you're alone and of, you know, of an evening and you're having to walk back to your car and things like that, you know, how do you present yourself, how do you walk, that kind of thing. So I got a lot out of it, and I know that you did share that information as well. But I was actually curious to ask you a question about, and the workbooks, I didn't mention this, the workbooks are a series of workbooks, because I'm actually trying to, my plan is to actually break the process of self-transformation down into 7 digestible phases and stages, so that people aren't overwhelmed. I mean, if I put all of the content that I have to share in a book, no one would ever read it, I can tell you now, and no one would ever work through it. So if I just make it bite-sized chunks, people will get through it. And the 6 workbook will actually about, a lot of it will be about knowing the difference between intuition versus your self-limiting beliefs and those subconscious programs that are running. And I just was really curious to ask you, Susan, is there a part, like, is there somewhere in your body that you've identified that actually allows you to understand when you're receiving like a message from a higher realm versus this is just a fear, this is just a subconscious belief, there's actually nothing really happening here? Have you ever sort of gotten to that point where you'd be able to identify the differences between
those two? It's really funny because I was listening to a workbook thing on Facebook, a workshop on Facebook. And this lady was explaining what intuition was, what she perceived intuition was. And she was saying it's the connection between the brain and the heart. And that's, you know, it's the impulses that go between the head and the heart. And
so it's the parents, yeah.
Yeah, the heart sending messages up there. Now, I don't look at intuition that way. I'd look at it very differently because after that attack, and I just want to say I wasn't hitchhiking, I was walking home. Mm. After that attack, when the attack happened, and the only reason I share this information was because of the learning I got from the attack, I actually left my body. So I know, and that's happened three times to me now, once during the attack, once when I had a near-death experience, and once I did deliberately. I wanted to do astral traveling. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a theory tester. I tested it. But the thing is that I know for sure we have the spiritual aspect of ourselves and we have the physical aspect. Mm. What I see intuition is the messages from the spirit to the physical body. Now, yes. a spirit can't, it doesn't have the five senses. The five physical senses are the physical body. So the yes. spirit relates information via the physical senses, our emotions, via our emotionally, physically, environmentally, and what was the other one? Physically, mentally, emotionally, and environmentally. Yeah, sorry, the four ways. Mm-hmm. So I don't see, and when we talk about a gut instinct or we talk about feelings from the heart, I see that as our energy centers, our chakras. So the information we're getting from our spirit is going via these chakras. So that's sort of how I look at it. Now, anything that I notice is of a negative connotation to me is not your intuition. Your intuition will always be more of a positive connotation, but it may show as a negative.
Yes.
So when I had the dream about the devil, the imagery I saw was very, very negative to get me up and going, but my intuition was giving me a positive sign to get me out of the house before it burnt down.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I see it slightly different to how other people see it, and that's what I want to share with the world, why I see it that way. That went off on a different tangent. Sorry.
No, that's good because I'll certainly be contacting you when I really dive into that part of Workbook 6 because, again, a lot of my information is about because I see myself as a curator. No one has all the answers. Every single person has their own little specialty. And what I'm trying to do with the content that I'm curating, and my workbook really is a curriculum. It's you know, there's other resources that you're going to need to be able to get through my work. But essentially what I'm doing is I'm taking a specialty from each person that, you know, that I've found that their work's been, you know, the most impactive or effective. And I'm literally, you know, taking snippets of it and I then order it in a way that people then can work through succinctly.
Yeah.
In a way that makes logical, that is logical and I guess is sequential as well. So that you can literally start here and end here and that there's an outcome. Because, you know, when during my journey I was just here, there and everywhere. And it kind of all does come together. But, you know, if it's all in one place and you can, you know, understand the journey you're on, you might have to go off in tangents and do different things. But if you can even just come back to the workbooks and keep reading them, you'll at least know the path and the terrain that you need to transverse. It might not happen in sequential order for you, but if you know what the journey entails, that's half the battle. You know that's where you're heading. That's really half the battle.
Yeah. And a lot of the times it's cyclic too. So even though we've sort of sequential in a time frame, you have these little cycles in amongst them as well that sort of, oh yeah, I remember that, and you sort of go back to where you were, and then you go forward again, and then you're tending to do that sort of cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as I said, you know, it will never happen for you necessarily in the order that I present it, but it's the only way it can be taught, and then it's about revisiting that information as much as you can. And you know, I simply reference the people help me. They're not the be all and end all. Certainly, you know, I talk about emotional, finding your purpose is essential. Learning to release the emotional baggage that we're carrying around is another imperative stage. So is reprogramming the subconscious mind and understanding the power of the subconscious mind. There are many people that can teach you or even have modalities that will actually allow you to understand that information and release those programs or release that emotion. You just need to find the one that works for you. I'm just giving you the information to say this is the next stage. This is what you will definitely need to do. These are the ones that helped me. These are the ones I found effective. But if you find something else, absolutely, that's so important. And I'd love to hear, you know, what the findings of other people, because in the back of my workbooks I have a huge resource section where I actually reference, you know, as many different books, resources, you know, podcasts, YouTube interviews, you know, programs from Guy, all sorts of stuff that people can at least start to, you know, I guess searching a little more and actually researching that aspect of the journey. So
it is horses for courses, isn't it? There's things there that are going to be relevant at what stage you're at and where you're going, but even listening to the terminology that you're using when you start talking about mindset, well, that's mental, that's you know, thought patterns that we're thinking. You talk about emotional baggage, well, that's the emotions that we're you know, holding on to. All of those are linked to your intuition, as they're doing those triggers. They're sending those little messages and everything to you because you are supposed to be on purpose. That's what your spirit's here for, a purpose.
And look, I put it, you know, when I summarize it to clients, I say to them, I think there's two key steps to the process. The first step is to identify your purpose, because that's going to give your life fulfillment and meaning, and that's your GPS. That's the direction that you definitely need to head in. That will make life so much easier, make decision-making, you know, much quicker and easier. And then the second aspect really is about, and look, there is more to this, but if you can just even nail these two things, you'll just be streaks ahead of where you're at before. The second is actually learning about the subconscious mind and then reprogramming the subconscious mind. So eliminating the self-limiting beliefs that are holding you back in life. And everything, there's a lot tied up in that, because when the original program occurs, it's usually because you've experienced an emotional trauma that was so painful at a stage in your life where you're so young that you couldn't comprehend it, you couldn't process it. Whether it be a you know, a physical trauma, like physical pain, or you felt emotional pain, and it was just too hard for that little one to like logically process it, because you never wanted to feel that pain again. You will have created some sort of story about what happened in that moment, which paints your whole perception in life. And then what happens is all of your behaviors and the way you think are basically impacted and modified according to that trauma that occurred. And then because you vibrate with the trauma that's within the body, and because you've not processed the emotion that was associated with that trauma, unfortunately, what happens is because it becomes part of your vibration, you end up attracting, you end up attracting more scenarios that actually cause the trauma to be replayed out, to be experienced again. And the reason that's happening is life is so efficient. Life is actually trying to give you another opportunity to actually process that emotion, so that once it's processed and released, it can be released. And you never then have to experience that trauma again, because when it's released, it's not part of your vibration anymore, so you're not attracting those same experiences again. And understanding that's critical. So learning about the subconscious mind and then allowing yourself to reprogram the subconscious mind is critical. And this is probably where I'd like to talk about the PDF that I'm offering people. I truly believe that your outer reality is a direct reflection of what's happening on the inside. And that's a combination of your thoughts, the story you've made up about life, which is your belief systems, your emotional baseline, as well as the actions that you take day in, day out. So because of that trauma that happened, we avoid the trauma again, so we change the actions. So any time that you actually, you know, change your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and actions, you're going to actually change the printout of your life. You're going to make a substantial difference to what you experience in life. And so that whole framework talks about how to quieten the mind to start with, because that's key, how to harness the mind in positive and productive ways so that you're not just getting into that loop of the negative self-talk. How can you actually really start to use the mind productively to actually put more of a positive spin on that? How can you create a vision of what it is you want to experience, and really trying to harness the mind more in that creative visualization way? How do you practice emotional self-management, which is critical, because how we feel day to day is a reflection of the experiences that we actually attract into our lives. So our thoughts kind of send the message out there, and then the emotion actually draws the experience into us. So if we're having negative thoughts and we're, you know, operating from a state of anxiety and depression, what are we going to get? We're going to get an outcome that reflects that. Where if we can shift our mindset and harness our mindset positively, and then literally change our baseline emotional state of being, release the trapped emotions that are causing us to feel anxious, that are creating the depression, that, you know, are very fear driven, that raises your emotional baseline to a whole other level, which allows you to completely change your experience of life. And then I also talk about, well, what actions lead to lasting positive change, and actually it's by changing the thoughts, reprogramming the subconscious beliefs, and practicing emotional self-management actually will change the printout of your life. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. But basically, I truly believe that life's an inside job. If you want to change your life, you have to start from within. No point in going and getting a new relationship, a new job, or moving somewhere else. You're going to repeat the same patterns until you change your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and actions. That's the only time that you're actually genuinely going to see some real and lasting positive change in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. But Kylie, we have to say goodbye, because we've gone to 53 minutes and we're supposed to go between 30 and 40. Whoops.
Oh my goodness. Sorry. No, I think we've ended it on a perfect note, to be honest. So we got to round out that PDF. So I would love to share that with people. And most of it's just lots of free practical information on there. It's not about programs or anything like that. You know, you might need a few resources here and there, but most of the stuff you'll be able to do with the resources that you've already have at home, and it won't cost you a cent.
And the email again?
Kylie@aguideforlife.com.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much, Kylie. We might get you back on again. I'd love to talk a bit more, because you've got so much happening.
Yeah, there's so much to share. There's Workbook 2, which will be out very shortly, and
Okay, yeah. Let's make a deal. We'll do workbook two. When you've got it out, contact me and we'll do another podcast about workbook two.
Well, you'll hear from me in a couple of weeks.
Hey, good. All right. Well, I have to thank you so much for coming on board. It was really, really good. And I have to big shout out for Sally too for introducing us. That was lovely. Was there anything else you wanted to say before we say goodbye? No.
Not at all. If anyone has any questions whatsoever, please email me. I'm very, contactable. I'm here, to help wherever I can. I just want to share as much information as I can with people.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much, Kylie.
Thank you so much.
That was just amazing. What an amazing lady. Please email her, Kylie@aguideforlife.com. You won't be disappointed at all. It'd be amazing. But that's us for today. Next week, I think I'm going to be talking about intuitive healing next week. I started doing that, so I'll probably do that next week and put Kylie on this week, which will be really exciting. But that's me for now. You can connect with me on Facebook or join up the, what is it? Intuitive Personal Development. There's a Facebook group. So I'm going to start being a little bit more active on that. But I think I said that last week too and still haven't. Sorry. But that's all for me. I'm going to say bye for now and we will see you in the near future. Okay, bye.